Welcome everybody to another live post or pregame edition.
Did you just mumble what I think you mumbled?
I think post almost.
Oh, no, post-game. No. I thought you mumbled something on your breath. Anyway.
No. But welcome everyone to another live pregame edition to 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell. And of course, we are here to get you ready for this weekend's matchup against the LA Rams, who are coming into town. To try and mess up with the Ravens got going on right now. You know, Jimbo, I just saw the Ravens playoff odds, or I'm sorry, their odds to get the first seed are up to 37% to be the number one seed in the AFC. So that is pretty freaking awesome. But how you doing tonight, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I mentioned before the family is sick once again, but luckily my cough has seemed to go down dramatically. So yeah. Doing good. Just hoping that Henry and Tanya get through it. How are you doing?
Doing well. Absolutely. Ready for this weekend. Can't wait to see how the Ravens continue to prove themselves as people are saying, yeah, they got the best chances, but look at that schedule, Jimbo.
Nah, they say, bring it on.
It's too much. They say that the other schedules are just far easier, and those easier paths will send teams like Miami a better route. But we're going to find out this weekend what this Ravens team is all about coming out of the bye week. We're excited to get into it.
We don't even know if Miami's real yet, right?
Yeah, they got to beat a winning team first.
They beat them. Lost to the Bills, right? Like, what's their best win? I mean, we could get into all that. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like, people shouldn't be poo-pooing the Ravens for sure. I mean,
No, they're ready. But I think the place we should start is where we always start, with the health of the team.
The bubble and
health
guts. Of the
old... Yeah. I don't know. It's not every year, you know. But look, as long as it's not going to cause any missed games, and hopefully not too many missed practices, although it did cost one.
Hey, let me tell you a quick story. All right.
Tell me about it.
All right. So my father-in-law and I, years ago, used to work actually together, we traveled for work, and we were working in Texas, and I had the company card, so I was like, you know what? Well, first of all, we were living in a hotel for a week because we were traveling, and so every meal obviously was fast food, right? Back on that day, I was on the two McDoubles, large fry, and a large Powerade tip. It was like $5.60 or something like that.
Can't beat it.
Yeah, no. But so one night, though, I was like, let's splurge. So no stomach problems the whole time. One night, we decided to go to Red Lobster one night.
Uh-oh. Right?
Dude, he gets the shrimp Alfredo.
Uh-oh.
The walls were shaking. We got back to the hotel. Poor guy was toe up. And let me tell you what, it's actually his birthday today. Shout out to my father-in-law, 64 years old today. But my point is that, Lamar, you got to stay out of the Red Lobster, bro.
Yeah, stay off the seafood.
Yeah, the when dairy, it's not, whatever's when
it's,
happening.
When it's a chain, dude. You know, you got to go. If you're going to get seafood, you got to go to a reputable location. You know, no doubt, because, man, it's a shame. This illness is coming running through the team right now. Of course, it started with Rashad Bateman missing Wednesday's practice with the same illness, as you can see there. And then Lamar Jackson ended up missing practice on Thursday. So it's definitely something going around. Good news is it's not going to cause anyone to go in any quarantines or miss any extended time. Yep. So here's what I like to see here, Jimbo. I do see some limited sessions, some DNPs early in the week. But if you look at that Friday walkthrough, Rashad Bateman was there. Yep. Odell Beckham, while not there, it's expected that's completely due to rest. He's a captain this weekend. He's playing against his old team. He's going to play. Malik Harrison, full participant. Limited participant. Malik Ham, full participant. Marlon Humphrey, who's expected to be back. Absolutely. With that two-headed monster at receiver that we're going to have to deal with, it's big to get him back. Meta BK's back from his concussion. Looks like he's ready to go. Same can be said for Trenton Williams. And then Pepe, full participant. Looks like he's going to be out there as well. So, I mean, everyone's out there. Outside the year-long misses, you know, the Mark Andrews and Dobbins, of course. Everyone else. Man, they're healthy, Jimbo.
Yeah, and one other note, of course, a guy that's not on here, I think has been on almost every week this year, but Ronnie Stanley is not even on the list, which is great. And I did see a note that he generally doesn't practice on Fridays, but he was out there today.
Yeah, that's got to be a good sign, right?
Yeah, it's got to be a good sign. So I'm looking forward to that. And and happy about that. I'll get into that more with my keys to the game. But you're right. I mean, overall, as far as a bill of health and what you can reasonably expect from this team in a week 14, we don't have too much to complain about.
No, absolutely not. Of course, not perfect. No team is. Right. When you look on their side, you know, Aaron Donald had a rest day. He's going to play.
Yeah.
I think the biggest one here, when you look, because it looks like Puka Nacua, their stud rookie who left last week's game, did return to that game with a shoulder, has a AC joint sprain in his shoulder. He's going to play. But the big one here that they might be without, Tyler Higbee,
their
tight end, their red zone threat. He's very unlikely to play. They list him as doubtful. He did not participate in practice at all this week. Yep. So I think the likelihood is very, very low. He hasn't been ruled out as far as I know. But I think it'd be shocking to see Tyler Higbee out there. So that's going to limit them from the passing game in the red zone, because they count on that big body, because the rest of their guys really aren't big body guys.
Yeah, it's a bummer for him. Obviously, I'm happy to play him when they're fully healthy as well. But like you said, I mean, at this point in the season, no one's 100%, and they're going to have to roll out there with the guys we got and see what's going on. So, yeah, I think the other thing, too, actually old Bob Pierney mentioned in the chat, I wanted to talk about this, is that outside of health, usually we kind of get into the matchups, offensive and defensive, but we got to talk about the weather too, right? Because these guys are, I think it's interesting, one, that they're flying west to east and the NFL didn't even give them a 425 game.
Yep.
Now, no complaints from me,
no.
But I was a little surprised by that, because usually they'll try and, like, you know, negotiate, meet you halfway, but they didn't do that. So it's an early game. And what do we know about the weather so far, Glenn?
Yeah, what I'm seeing here, a chance of showers, then rain, and possibly a thunderstorm after 8 a.m. Now, here's the good news. It's supposed to be pretty warm. The high is near 60, mid-60s is the high. And the wind isn't crazy, with gusts up to 16 miles. Gusts up to 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So that could get dicey. But here's the big one. Chance of precipitation, Jimbo, 100%.
Yeah,
it's going to be raining all game long, and the bulk of it is going to be happening between right prime time of the game. Like, it's going to be absolutely pouring. And Jimbo, I'm not going to spoil my key to the game terribly, I don't think, by saying this, but that's certainly going to be an emphasis in this game, because weather has a funny way of making an uneven matchup even. And it can take an even matchup and make it whole lopsided, depending on where the ball bounces and how the weather impacts things.
Yeah, and I know everyone's, not everyone, but a few people have said in the chat, like, you know, we got to double down the run game. The one thing I want to mention is that, at least also for us defensively, not there's been a ton of weak spots, but it's also worth considering that, like, we've also had our moments where we struggled against the run as well. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams play this weather, what their strategies are, how many guys are throwing new cleats out there. But it is.
Well, how do you think it affects the fans, Jimbo, before we get to a couple of super chats here? How does it affect the fans? Because look, we were at that game with the Steelers where it was cold. It was raining and it was windy.
And like, it was like the eternal mist. Remember? It wasn't like, it was like a constant,
just annoying spitter spatter in your eyes.
And you're soaked, but you look straight forward and it looks like it's not even rain. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Like, your chair's soaked as soon as you stand up.
So, I mean, look, I think that the fans just got to embrace it and love it for what it is, right? Strength. Because this is your opportunity to take even more advantage of the fact that they're coming out here. They're playing in East Coast weather, and we're East Coast fans. Like, you know, show up and show out. That's the way I see it. Like, dude, you better believe Real Fan Dan's going to be out there slinging his shirt off, you know, out there spelling Ravens and still having a good time. So, I don't know. I mean, I say get after it.
Yeah, for
sure. Well, Glenn, you got the poncho in the back, in the trunk, right?
Dude, the poncho is ready to go. The poncho that I've never worn ever. But
I don't know if people know that story.
No. It's there. It's ready to go. But I've never actually.
Dude, you remember my brother's rain suit game?
He was perfectly fine. Just had no problems, completely dry.
What that thing was,
dude, it was clutch, is what it was. My denim was completely soaked through. Let's get to a couple super chats. Doomgoy says, how satisfying was Watt taking that flying knee? Yeah, I mean, just in general, anytime I see a guy who dishes it out, I love to see him if he can take it. And that guy is running around punching people left and right. Yeah. So
Yeah. I tell JJ to stop whining out of these immediate memory.
I know, dude. Like,
shut up. Your brother's guy, a bully on the football field, dude.
This guy, I mean, look, I like JJ Watt, but it's
he's great.
He thinks his opinion is, I don't know, so valuable now. But yeah, I wasn't mad about that. And I really wasn't mad. How bad do you have to be to make Bailey Zappi look good?
Dude,
like, they are so bad. The Patriots are so bad. And yet they went into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers. You got to love to see it.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think Mac Jones is doing there sitting on the side? What is he thinking?
He's going, get me out of here. He's going to be like blinking Morse code in his next presser. Get me out of here. Dude,
he's got to be thinking, man, I'm really bad at football.
Well, he's got to be thinking, these guys are miserable to be around. I don't want to be here. And if I was in a better atmosphere for learning, then I'd probably be a whole lot better. But, I mean, look, his confidence has got to be somewhere around the same spot that Zach Wilson's is.
Yeah. Well, Zach is delusional.
Right now, it seems like he's hesitant to play. He's scared. So maybe he's not so delusional. Maybe he knows, look. Did you see what I was doing out there before, Coach? You want me out there?
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah, thanks to the Pats. Appreciate you. And then Don C says, that weather Sunday is going to be as ugly as the end of two great franchises Thursday night Slobber Knocker football game. Yeah. Yeah, that was, man, it's crazy to think. The Patriots and the Steelers, as good as they've been for how many decades, and they are both. I mean, right now, if you look at the standings, it's like, what are you talking about? The Steelers are right there. No, but we all know.
It's a straw man.
Yeah, we all know that they are a mess. And look, I think they're all fighting for Caleb Williams. And I guess whenever Sanders decides he's going to make himself eligible for the draft, Deion's son will certainly be a top pick. Yeah. But
who's the other kid? Drake May?
Drake May, yeah. Yeah, he's the other one. Him and Caleb Williams are both top two picks. But yeah, it's crazy to see how far they've fallen. Shout out to John C. Appreciate your participation in the chat. But yeah, let's get into let's start previewing these teams, Jimbo.
Yeah, let's do it, man. I mean, we got a lot to talk about. And certainly this is important because, look, any of us know that they're an NFC team, two, they're out west, so we don't get to see them as much. So what we'll do is we'll run through, their defense against our offense, give you some keys, give you some breakout players. And all the above, but I want to start with that. I'm guessing you probably got some stats up in front of you because we've been doing this for a while. But I just want to start, from a defensive perspective, just a couple players to watch. I think it all starts and ends with Aaron Donald, right? Like he is the sun in the solar system of this defense, right?
Yeah, John said he's the best to ever do it at his position. John Harbaugh said that.
Yeah, and he might be the best defensive player. I mean, he's not
even in that conversation
of all time, right? I mean, you won't catch me picking him over two guys that were here in Baltimore, but that's just because I'm a Ravens fan. But
let's just call it the leadership, Jimbo, that Ray brings Ed.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, we're not here to.
Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is that it really starts and ends with him. And that's got to be their number one focus from an offensive perspective on the Ravens. How do they go about stopping this guy? And limiting his impact on the game because he can impact it in so many ways.
Oh, he certainly can. And he also, not only can he impact it, but just his presence allows, the job of everyone else to be so much easier. There's no shock. Kobe Turner, the other D tackle on their team, he's got 5.5 sacks. Do you think Aaron Donald has helped at all in him getting those 5.5? Of course he has. And so, it starts with him. He's not the same young Aaron Donald as he once was. So some of those effort plays, not that his effort isn't there, but he'd win in every way possible. He'd win quick. He'd win late with effort. He would with strength, with speed. He wins everywhere. But what's interesting about him, Jimbo, it has me a little concerned is when in passing or in running downs, they will traditionally have him inside the tackles, lined up over a guard or, in between the guard and center. But on passing downs, he's going to be out on them tackles, bruh, and he's going to be bull rushing. And it got me a little nervous. I love seeing the removal of injury designation for Ronnie Stanley. But, I mean, he's struggling against bull rushes against guys that aren't Aaron Donald. So what's your concern? concern yeah. level that they can handle this guy.
Yeah, we kind of touched on this with Cole at the end of his time with us on Tuesday. Yeah, that concerns me big time because you think about all the things bad that have been happening recently in the NFL. Specifically, I think of the Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, I get really nervous about Ronnie not being able to anchor, getting pushed back. Lamar, look, all I know is that Lamar's got to be, like, you know, eagle-eyeing it over there because – And I don't know how much that helps to not have that confidence, of course. But yeah, that makes me really nervous. I'm worried about him on the outside more than on the inside. Look, that being said, Linderbaum's had his struggles against extremely strong guys. But Aaron's a little different in that, like, he's not just a huge load, right? Yeah. Like,
athletic.
Anybody's going to struggle against Aaron Donald. But I think on the inside, Linderbaum struggles against massive humans.
No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and Aaron's certainly not that. But yeah, Aaron's I worry
not
about
the type to just sit. He could, but he's not the type to just sit there and eat up two blockers. He's going to try and jump around them. He's going to try and get between them. So I think you're right. I think Linderbaum's not the worst matchup for Aaron Donald.
No, I agree. But yeah, I do worry about the outside. I mean, Morgan is not the most powerful guy either, but certainly Ronnie's injury. I'm a little.
But
nervous.
They know that neither one have big legs and a big old ass on them. Neither one.
No.
So yeah, it's gonna definitely need some help in certain situations. And then he's gonna be needed. And then before I get into some of their numbers and where they rank amongst the others in the league, Adit says, Glenn, thoughts on David Rubenstein in talks of buying the O's? He will be the fourth richest owner in Major League Baseball.
Well, I know nothing about this. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's just some preliminary talks. Apparently, things are maybe moving in a certain direction. I'll tell you this, Adi, I would be thrilled if there's a guarantee that the Orioles never leave Baltimore. As long as they are never, ever going to leave Baltimore, yeah, I'd love to have an owner who's amongst some of the richest.
I'd root for the Orioles hardcore again if they had new owners.
Yeah, let's be honest. It comes down to, at some points, who has the deepest pockets. And so, yeah, it'd be nice to match up what we have going from an ability to draft and then develop players, mix that with rich owner. Woo! Mm-hmm. You're talking some serious.
Should I know who this guy is?
Well, it's pretty early on, but like, he's just a rich guy trying to buy the O's.
All right. I wasn't sure if he was already in the circuit. You know what I mean?
Not that I'm aware of. Adit may know more, but I'm not aware of any. Anything else? And Kieran says, what's up, guys? Made it to a live. Got a new job, so not working nights or weekends anymore. Super excited for this game and want a big OBJ game. Yeah, I mean, Jimbo, just from a quick take on that last point, do you expect, typically when guys play against their former team, they try and get that guy involved. Do you expect OBJ to be one of those guys?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we've been talking about this as well. He's kind of been thrust into this role anyway, where he's going to have to take on more because of Mark, and I think that is a huge solution to that problem, right? Is OBJ's got to get the ball more. He's got to be more of an impact player, a higher volume guy. It doesn't need to be crazy, but it certainly needs to increase. And I think this game, trends in that direction. So if you're playing daily fantasy, I think that once again, OBJ's, there's a lot of value. The most expensive he's been this year in a $60,000 payroll is $5,500. So look, he's under $6,000 in a lot of them. But anyway, yeah, I think that this is a big game for him because he's playing against the old team, but also he's going to have to pick up some slack here with the whole Mark situation.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think if he's healthy, let's hope the bye week did his body some good. I think he certainly can. He's shown he still has it if he can stay out there. All right, let me get into some numbers for you. Let's see here. We'll start with the defensive side of the ball. Let's see. They rank 15th in the league in points surrendered. They give up 21.1 points per game on average. In yards, they're 16th. They give up 331. Let's see. Third down conversions, they're 20th. They give up third down conversions of 40%, which isn't great. Bottom third of the league. Rushing yards per game, let's see, 111, they're 16th, so middle of the pack. A lot of middle of the pack numbers, 15th, 16th, 20th, 16th. Opponents' yards passing per game, 16th, 219. I mean, they're just middle of the pack. They're at everything. But what that tells you, they're not bad at anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm certain that, you know, in spurts, they can be, you know, better than that. So this isn't a team that's bad against the run. the run. They're not bad against the pass. They average turning you over at a clip of one a game. So they'll take the ball away. Just a solid defense with some star power, specifically up front with Aaron Donald.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say that gets me excited is usually average defenses don't don't do well here. So I'm excited. Average defenses usually you know what I mean? Look at the teams that we've played against that are above average. Look what we did to Seattle. Look what we did to Detroit. I mean, I'm excited about the prospect of playing against an average defense, right? Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that. But let me tell you what, Glenn. This game is going to be – oh, I see what you did there, Glenn, with your breakout player. I like
that. What happened, bro? What do you mean, bro? What do you mean, brother?
Oh, I love it. No, it's good, though. That's smart.
No, but honestly, I think both who I had on there before and who I just changed it to have a chance to be
breakout. Yeah, well, I'm going old school, all right? I just want to say that before I give my breakout player, as much as we've been talking about other people on the offense and this defense, I think it's really going to come down to the execution in the run game, certainly with the weather, and who can do it better offensively. I think the Ravens can do it better. I think they have a team commitment to the run game. And so with that being said, it is going to be a big dose of Gus Edwards. He's going to be stopping at every stop. The wheels on the bus are going to be going round and round and round. And let me tell you what, you know what the wipers are going to be doing, Glenn?
What's that?
Swish, swish, swish. Swish, swish, swish. Oh, it's going to be raining, God. Baby.
Oh, my.
That's right. God. I have a 2-year-old. What can I say? But look, Gus Edwards is my breakout player of the game. I'm going 80 plus two tutties for Gus Edwards. Yeah, 80 plus.
Okay. I have no problem with the two tutties. 80 plus, I would love that. Plus.
Yep.
And before I get into my keys and player of the game, let's see what John has to say. He says, I'm going to my first game ever.
Nice.
Congratulations, John. That's awesome. So hype. I'm in section 130, row 9. Any advice or things I should know? I'm going to try so hard for Lamar to sign my jersey. Well, I'll say this. When it comes to signing your jersey, it helps to bring a child because typically he signs for kids and the kids get the front row. But if you know, hey, you might get lucky. You never know. You never know. But as far as any other advice, I would say dress warmer than you think because the concrete you're standing on is going to suck the heat right out of you and it's going to be rainy and windy and you're not moving. You're standing still. So I would say this. And also, Jimmy, I think we learned this the hard way. Even if you have like a rain jacket, if your pants aren't rainproof,
just as bad.
It's just as bad. So get something that protects the legs as well as the upper body. For sure.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say is be strategic with the peas, bro. Look, when you got to piss, be strategic about it. And run. It is worth it. Like, I'm telling you, as soon as you know they're going to punt,
Yeah, it's tough, bro.
Out of there. You get up and you get out of there because that line will go out to the gate.
Yeah, if you're drinking, John,
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, that beer will do you.
I hate missing plays because I'm like, look, you know I'm cheap, Glenn. I'm like, dang it. I'm paying for this game.
I want to see everything.
I'm not going to watch it on a TV.
Yeah.
You know, so be strategic, my
man. Consider drinking liquor if you're going to drink.
Do you pee less with liquor?
Oh, yeah. Beer makes you – it's unbelievable, dude. It's like as soon as you get back to the seat from peeing. You
just got to pee again.
You got to pee again. This is so ridiculous. But that's so awesome, John. Dress warm. Warmer than you think. Trust me.
Yep. You're not going to be too upset about being too warm.
No, and the big thing is the waterproof because when you stand up to cheer, your chair is going to get wet from the rain.
Yep.
And you don't want to have to deal with that.
You need a poncho. No, Glenn will meet you in the parking lot. He'll pop open the trunk.
Your boys always got emergency ponchos.
I love it.
You got it.
Yeah, man. Enjoy it, John.
All right. For my key to the game, and it's perfectly in line here. It's don't let the weather ruin the game. It's got me nervous, Jimbo, because when the ball is wet, we've already had issues at the mesh point earlier in the season with a dry football. So now you're adding water to the mix. It makes me nervous. Also, the passing game. I mean, you just never know when a ball can come out of the hand awkwardly. I'll just say this. Don't let the weather dictate the game plan too much. Like, it's, of course, going to change some plays if it's rainy and windy out there. But don't let it completely hamstring you from an offensive standpoint. I think you have an advantage offensively when there's rain because you know where you're going. The defense doesn't know where you're going. They don't know where you're cutting. They have to react where you can prepare. I think you use that to your advantage. Guys like OBJ who can run, you know, the route runner, Zay Flowers, guys that can separate. Bateman's been separating at an all-time level. Use that to get open because you're going to need to on the outside because they're going to challenge. They're going to say, we know what they want to do. They want to use that number one rush attack that they have in the league to beat us up in a muddy, wet game. So we're going to load the box and we're going to say, okay, you have to throw it in this to beat us. So we're going to need OBJ and Bateman and Zay to beat those guys on the outside. But to me, it's all about the weather. Don't let the weather ruin your game. My breakout player, it's OBJ. I mean, look, I put Keaton Mitchell originally, and I honestly think he's got a potential to go over 100 yards and pop a big run. But I also know that they're going to get OBJ the ball a lot. They're going to have a specific game plan around getting him the ball and specifically, I think, getting him a touchdown. So that's the reason he's my breakout player. He's going to have opportunities one-on-one. They got some pretty good corners on the outside. Like, this isn't a team like middle of the pack. Yeah, but middle of the pack's not too bad when you consider they're healthy. They weren't healthy for all of this season. And now that they're healthy, that middle of the pack, it's kind of skewed a little bit. I think they're better than that. So, just don't let the weather ruin the game. And, let's see what you got, OBJ. Show them what you got.
I like it. I like your key. I like your breakout player. And to add to that, not letting the weather ruin the game, my offensive key to the game is that the offensive line is to show up and dictate the outcome of this game. Like, obviously, they don't play defense, but this has got to be – Cole's been talking about we win and lose in the trenches. It's been that way all year. But this needs to be a staple game for this starting five offensive line moving forward because since the bye, it's been nothing but questions about Ronnie – you know, and when you're asking about one guy, everyone knows that the offensive line is really just one position. They're like an amalgam, right? Like they're just like this amoeba of thing that just moves of, you know, huge humans in front of you because everyone is on a rope and they depend on one another. So I think this has to be a game where the offensive line sticks their flag in the ground and takes a step forward and shows people what they can do, certainly against a guy like Aaron Donald, who's going to get plenty of attention and dominate. So that's my key to the game. Offensive line has to dominate in this game. And it's going to make a huge difference, not only in this game, but certainly in the future. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, these guys are bringing it, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. They are going to be bringing it. They're going to be loading the box. Yeah. You just gotta be ready for it. Let's see. Ernest Jones, I think leads their team in tackles. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. You gotta be ready for him. But I think this offense, coming off a bye week, typically John has this team prepared. I think they'll do really well. Well, let's switch things over to the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
John C has a comment.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I was just getting ready to put that up. Yeah, because I think this is a good transition. Go ahead, my bad.
Yeah, Don C's excited to see our secondary against these wide receivers of the Rams. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and DeMarcus Robinson are going to challenge this team, and I think it's big time that they're getting – Marlon Humphrey back, because you're right, that two-headed monster. I tell you what's weird, Jimbo. I'm willing to say it, and I think Cooper or Nacua, I think he's the bigger threat than Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp's injuries, at least for this year, have taken too big of a toll on him, and I just don't think he's the same guy right now. So my biggest thing is I want Marlon on Puka Nacua. I want Marlon on him, and then we can deal with Cooper with Brandon Stevens and company, because he's physical, man. He's a young guy, but he is physical. They hand him the ball. They'll throw him the ball quick. They hit him for a deep one last week, a 70 yarder against Cleveland. Did they play last week? I think it was Cleveland that played last week.
Old Joe Flacco.
Puka Nacua is an absolute, like, it's insane what he's doing. Let me just give you some of, because I know we're
already. Yeah, the dude's out of this world.
Yeah, we're transitioning already, and he was on pace like to do things that no rookie has ever done in the history of the league. Like, that's how good that guy was doing. He leads their team right now with 118 targets, 77 catches already on the season. Jimbo, he's over 1,000 already. He's got 1,029 yards. He's got four tutties. He's averaging 86 yards per game, whereas Cooper Kupp, 54. So even when they're both healthy and playing, it's Nacua that's their guy, and the guy you got to worry about, and he's kind of taken over the main guy role from Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, no, that's it's just always hard to dismiss the old dog. You know what I mean? Like, not that he's old, but like he's been there for a while, right? It's always difficult to do that, but it's hard to argue with your logic. Certainly for this year, he's going to be quite the matchup, and it'll be really interesting to see how this secondary deals with the defense as a whole.
Where did he come from, bro? Where is he from? Puka Nacua, because he sounds like he's got Polynesian
for sure. He's definitely Polynesian.
Oh, he's a BYU guy, dude.
Is he? No, that's why I don't know anything about him, because I don't worry about. Yeah, so he's a poly. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Well, it's funny. He must not have been that good coming out of high school, or else he would have been at the U.
Oh, here we go. Here
certainly
we
as a poly. Not very many polys want to play at BYU if they don't have to.
Here we go. Here we go. Taking shots. Fifth round draft pick. Working out pretty good for the Rams. Yeah. Let me give you some of their offensive numbers here and where they rank. Let's see. Offensively. All right. In points, they're 13th, 22 points per game. Yards, 13th, 345 yards per game. Third down conversions, they're 13th, 41% conversion rate. Let's see, yards per game on the ground, they're 14th, 114. And through the air, let's see, 231, they're 15th. So a lot of middle of the pack numbers once again. So they're not elite, but they're certainly in the upper half. I mean, they're 13th or to 15th in most statistical categories. And what's interesting, it's a balanced team. It's a team that wants to run the ball. It and certainly works the passing game off their run. But like Cole mentioned, they were more traditionally that Kyle Shanahan, that zone scheme where they were trying to get your guys moving left to right, get smaller, more athletic offensive linemen, get those big boys up front moving left to right, and let the running back have an opportunity to cut back behind those guys while they're moving. They've kind of gotten away a little bit from that and gone more of a gap scheme. I think they found that, and you got to give credit to their coaching staff. They discovered that, look, maybe our personnel fits this better, and they leaned hard into that. But Jimbo, one guy that you really got to worry about, dude, you talk about young guys making an impact. Kyren Williams.
Yes.
Is an absolute terror. If you guys have not, I mean, anybody who plays fantasy football, they know about Kyren Williams, because the guy is probably going to win someone their league. He averages 5.1 yards per carry so far. He's got 687 yards. He's already spent time on IR, and yet he has 687 yards, Jimbo.
It's ridiculous.
He's got 7 touchdowns. And then receiving, not to be outdone, he's got 3 touchdowns receiving and 190 yards through the air.
No, kid's a weapon.
I mean, he's the reason. Remember they had who'd they have as their running back to start the year? Yeah, Cam Akers are ready to give him the reins. And they're like, see ya, Kyren Williams.
I don't even know where Cam Akers – oh, he hurt himself in Minnesota, didn't he?
Yeah, Achilles, I believe.
He literally got the kid sent off to Minnesota. Yeah. No, he's an absolute weapon. So that's why – and look – people can say whatever they want about Matt Stafford, his desire to continue to play, whatever. Duke can slang the rock. I mean, Matthew Stafford makes me think of like David and Goliath. Dude, people don't know. David, dude, with the slingshot was a sniper from distance, bro. Let me tell you what, Matt Stafford is. Yeah, just sleep. I just imagine Matt Stafford running through a field with a giant like 100 yards away. Sling! Just getting some right between the eyes, you know? Yeah, Matthew Stafford is a guy that can sling the rock, somebody that we always got to be worried about. And certainly, like you said, Glenn, I mean, with the weapons that he's got around him, they're a team that's getting hot right now. They've won 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm. Averaging 34 a game over that 3-game stretch.
And they're looking to make a push. They're looking to make San Francisco gulp a little bit, right? Like, you know, so this is certainly not a sleeper game by any stretch of the imagination. And the Ravens defense is going to have to be with it. One of the things, in fact, my key to the game defensively, Glenn, is really going to be about limiting Yak. You talked about Puka, you know, obviously Cup, and then the running back they got. They really need to make sure that they're sure-handed with their tackles in this game, because I don't think everything is going to be, you know, it's not going to be a Bengals-type attack where it's, you know, they rely heavily on this huge play down the field. They like to get Puka the ball in a million different ways, and same thing with Cup and intermediate stuff and things like that. So when these guys get their hands on the ball, we've got to limit their impact. And I think we've really, really got to limit Yak in this game. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, I think what could lead to helping that is making sure these guys got the right cleats on. And Don C, It says he's going to lose his mind if I see them slipping and sliding, putting on the 7 stud cleats. Please, so tired of our guys looking like they're on ice skates. Yeah, let's hope that some of the home field advantage we have this weekend is also found in the knowing which equipment to be using, because I better see the Ravens have the advantage there. Like, they shouldn't know better about the fields that we play on than we do. So if anyone's slipping, and I'm on Don C's side, it better be the damn Rams slipping or both of us slipping, not just us.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to see Zay, and I swear it's like Zay, Justice Hill, Lamar all the time. Those three.
Yeah. Every time. And I know those are probably like our best guys with the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But right. Still, get some cleats that can, can keep you upright. But also, Jimbo, what's interesting about this is, Lamar Jackson's not the biggest fan of cold weather, rainy weather. Of course, we all know that. But you know who else doesn't have a lot of exposure to playing in cold weather here?
Matt Stafford?
Matt Stafford's played in a dome for most of his career.
Because he was up in Detroit,
And then everyone in the South, in the NFC South, plays in a dome. And then he goes to L.A. He's playing under the bright lights, the beautiful weather in L.A. They play in San Francisco. So, they have to go up to Seattle, and that's not good. But when they go to Arizona, they're in a dome. So, not a lot of time. I think I had to go back. I think I read somewhere it's been since 2017 that Matt Stafford has played in a rainy game. So, you're talking... This is unfamiliar for Matt Stafford too. And I think he's going to be impacted by the rain, just as much as Lamar Jackson. So I'm not scared of old Stafford and his gunslinging tendencies when weather is going to be what it is. But to me, my key to the game defensively, let's see, what did I put here? Oh, protect the edges, both the run and pass. And the reason I say this is because they like to run to the edges. Mm-hmm. And in those games where we struggled against the run, we had issues containing the edge. And we had issues where guys would dive in, trying to do too much, trying to make a play. They give up the edge, and then all of a sudden we see a 25-yard gain. But also, in the passing game, the Rams, when they see that Matt Stafford's running for his life and their offensive line can't protect, which is what I expect this weekend, because I think Clowney's going to be all over his ass. I think Van Noy's going to be all over his ass. Oway's going to be feeling better than he has in weeks because he's healthier. They are going to be all over him. I think they're going to boot this guy out. They're going to keep him moving. Try and keep the pocket moving. Don't just keep the pocket right where you're expecting it to be and let all those exotic blitzes come from different directions and all simulated pressures.
There you go.
They're going to move them. So you got to guard the edges in both the run and the pass game. Watch out for the boots and all that. And then my breakout player, Jimbo, it's Jadeveon Clowney. He's going to come back
half sack away from double digits, something like that.
Dude, he's going to have 14 by the time this year's all said and done, Jimbo. He's not just getting double digits. He's getting well beyond 10. Okay.
Wow.
He's going to be all over his ass. And don't be surprised if I'm wrong and it's not Clowney, that it's Adafe Owe. I wouldn't be shocked if it's him either. That guy's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me.
No, I like that. I was just going to say my defensive player of the game is one arm Bob. I'm going Marcus Williams. And I think he's getting an interception. If you remember the last time that Matthew Stafford was in town, Chuck Clark broke out for 2 interceptions in that game. Matthew Stafford has the career long habit of putting the ball up for grabs. As much as he's great at throwing the football, he also doesn't mind taking risks. As I'm pretty sure he just sees it as kind of part of the game. So I think that I initially thought Geno, he keeps the train going, things like that. But I wanted to pick something a little more unlikely, only because Marcus always finds himself in the right place, but only slaps at the ball apparently these days. But I'm just feeling he's going to get a stroke of inspiration and. Or the ball's just going to be, he's going to be so well positioned, it's going to hit him in his chest. Exactly.
Catch it like a punt.
That's right. So I'm going Marcus Williams. I think he has a big one this week. I'm looking forward to it. I think this matchup overall is going to be a lot of fun because their offense, say what you want about their record, I think that this offense is going to be a bigger test than Detroit. It's going to be obviously a bigger test than Seattle. I think a bigger test than even, I mean, obviously we played Cleveland when Deshaun was, there the whole game. But I think this is one of the biggest tests offensively that we're going to have to deal with this year as a defense. So I think it's going to be a lot of interesting to, or a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, there's going to be this is. I think what's different about them is they are going to try and, I think, push the ball more to the edges. But it's tough in a game where it's rainy and windy. Yeah. But you look at them at the defense. I just wanted to highlight this. Here. It
can
shows,
you zoom in on this?
Yeah, I'm trying to. There we go. Okay, so you can see at the top. This is separation prevented and targets faced. So on the left here, percentage of targets faced. And then on the bottom here, you're going to have percentile of separation prevented. And I just wanted to point, this is all linebackers. I just wanted to point out the fact, first of all, no one gets open on Roquan. And look at Pat Queen, dude.
That is awesome.
So you can throw it over the middle. Okay. But there's going to be zero separation if you try and throw it towards our linebacking crew.
Love it.
They are, so obviously Roquan is in the top, what is that, 98th percentile when it comes to not allowing separation, and Pat Queen is right behind him. Man, they, I mean,
well, the Ravens addressed that problem.
What's that?
Isn't that funny how like 2 years ago this was a problem? And they said, well, we'll just get the guy that's the best at it.
Yeah, we'll get the guy who's better than everyone. So when people try and say, you know, because remember there was a list out, the best linebackers. And the Ravens were not on
Fred
that
Warner
list.
First.
It was well, they weren't on the list for the best duo. It was the Niners number one. Then it had the Jets two, which we like. What's our guy? CJ Mosley. We like him. And who's the other guy that plays on there on his team? He's been having a crazy year. Here it is. This guy, Fuyasade. Quincy. That's who it is. Quincy Williams. Fuyasade is, by the way, a guy that Roquan Smith named as his top five linebacker. I never even heard of the guy until Roquan brought him up. But I just wanted to point that out. If they do throw over the middle of the field, they better throw away from those guys, because holy smokes, they are something special.
That is awesome. Cool,
but yeah, shout out to Laney, baby, Ryan Laney himself, who I'm about to probably be talking to in a little bit. Shout out Laney, my guy. But yeah, we are in perfect position after the Steelers did this past Thursday.
Big time.
Huge last weekend for us during the Ravens bye week. Set the Ravens up where they control their own destiny. Now, I will say this. As tough as the schedule is to end the year, does this game become a must win when you look at what's on the horizon for the Ravens? Don't they kind of have to win this one?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I feel like they have to. I would have said it's more of a must win if the Steelers didn't turn into absolute garbage over the past 14 days, because now I feel like that game against the Steelers is a gimme, even though it's still the Steelers, and historically that just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But yes, to keep up pace with these cupcake schedules that the NFL has gifted to the Miami Dolphins, and not so much the Dolphins as much certainly the Chiefs, which we wouldn't expect anything less, right? Like, that's just kind of how it goes.
That's right.
I agree. I think this is a must win. The Ravens need this one to keep pace if the goal is the number one seed. I mean, if that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So need it. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you agree, like, with the prognostic? Like, do you still look at the Ravens as being the number one, or the most likely to achieve the number one seed?
So difficult, right? Mm-hmm. I as objective as I possibly can be. Man, it's hard to put your faith in the Chiefs though, because they just dropped one of the Packers.
They've had some bad losses this year.
Yeah, and Kelce looked old.
And they don't have nobody outside of him. No one.
And Pacheco's hurt now.
I know. Oh, dude. We don't even gonna get into what happened to your fantasy team last night, dude. We're not gonna do it.
It's all right. I'm still gonna find a way to win.
I love it.
But geez whiz. I think that the Ravens have the best chance, because I believe objectively the Ravens have the best team of those. True. You know what I mean? Outside, like, forget the matchups. They have the best team. Mm-hmm. So I'll take the Ravens still. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we got to get into our competition, our over-under competition, which, of course, is brought to you every week by BetUS, who are the OG in sports gambling. They're whether you want season long, you want daily, you want prop bets, you want player bet, anything you could want, any sport you could absolutely imagine, BetUS has bets on there. And they, and look, it's just $10. You'll get your match if you use promo code 410 of 125%. Just a couple bucks, $10. And make the game that may be meaningless mean so much more. Bring your whole family and make it more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Always gamble responsibly, of course, but make sure when you do sign up, to use promo code 410. I mean, it's that easy to get free money up to $2,500. So why not do it, Jimbo? Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a way for you guys to support us. So it's a win-win-win-win scenario. Before we get into the competition really quickly, though, I do want to get to Don C's comment. What about Shaq Leonard signing with the Eagles? That was a big move for them. The rich get richer. Do they have a salary cap, DK? The reason I wanted to get this, Don C, was not so much about your question, about the fact that DK is not here.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he's cooler than us, and he's just hanging out in New York City with who knows who.
Who knows who.
Making deals, out there selling off the land off the side of Hudson River. Yeah. You know, he's into that commercial. He's probably hanging out with Trump, dude. Just in the Trump Tower doing his thing.
No, don't do him like that. Don't do him like that, dude.
No, I'm just kidding, but yeah, DK's out there swinging.
And look, he's gonna pay the price when we get to our competition later.
Yeah, he is.
In the only way we know how, the most petty way we know how, and that's how we do. But as far as Shaq Leonard, I think he's not what he used to be. I think we have to stop comparing him to his old self when he was a four-time All-Pro. He just hasn't been that guy. I think if he was anything close to that guy, he'd still be there. But
yeah, because they're a contending team. It's not like they're out of it.
And he's not old. Like, he's still relatively young. I just think it's a weird thing. I wonder if it's just his body's too beat up, but it doesn't hurt the Eagles because it's really a low risk, you know, and possibly big reward for them to sign him. So let's just hope. I don't have nothing against him, but I certainly won't be rooting for him if they see us in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. So that'll be interesting to see how it goes. But it does sometimes feel like other teams don't have salary caps, and we do.
It does, doesn't it? Sometimes.
Yeah, somehow. All right, let's get into it, though. Glenn, without any further ado, I think the banners are loaded. You going to run that?
I got you, my dude. I got you. Okay. I got you. Cool. Okay. All right, let's get this out of here. All right, so as you guys know, every week we have our wonderful over-under competition. Mm-hmm. Where you can use our link. Here we go. Okay, here we go. All right. I just had to get my bearings right with DK not here. There it is. Yeah, there's the first one. Ooh. All right, first over-under is Ravens first downs. DK sets it at 18.5. Last game we had 20. Jimbo, will the Ravens have more or less than 18.5 first downs?
I'm going with over. I think you said it right when breaking down their defense. There's an average defense, and we usually make above-average defenses look below average. This is an average defense. I don't think they're going to look very well. They're traveling and in the rain, and they're not great. So I'm going over. And also because we're going to be running the rock a lot as well. I don't think it's going to be like big plays down the field. I think it's going to be a healthy dose of Gus.
And that right there is why I agree right there, that last part. I don't think it's a ton of big plays, although it could. Rainy games could end up, you know, they sometimes end up with skies slipping and falling and big plays. But I agree like you. I think they're not going to see a lot of deep passes. So I do think you'll see chain moving type drives. And for that reason, I say over as well. And it looks like DK agrees. So all three of us agree with over. Second one is Keaton Mitchell's rushing long for the day. He sets it at 25.5. Last game, he had a 29-yard run. Jimmy, will he go more or less than 25.5?
You know, I'm going under here. Part of this is strategic. but the other part is I just think it's going to be Gus over and over and over again. So it might just be his pitch count might be more limited than normal. And generally when it is, less opportunities. You know, I mean, we've seen him with one opportunity. You know, he simply breaks it open. But yeah, I'm going under based on just a hunch. That's about it.
Yeah, well, the odds on a back going over 25.5 typically, I think, aren't great. And I think that's
unless
right.
Keaton Mitchell.
But Keaton Mitchell just does it every time. So I'm going to say over, absolutely over. And I think, like I mentioned earlier, the fact that an offensive player knows where he's going and defense doesn't gives him a built-in advantage. So I say over, and DK agrees with me. So that's the first area in which
Look who decided to show up in the chat.
Who's that?
The old DK.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's good to know that he's alive and well.
Coherent.
I like to see that. Yeah. He's still able to team
spell
DK.
And type.
Dang, dude. Come on now. You know this is people's champ. all right. Over under number three. Patrick Queen plus Kyle Hamilton. TFLs. Tackles for loss. 1.5 is where he sets it. Last week they had 3 combined. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, they're definitely going over.
Yeah?
Definitely going over. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. They're going over here. I feel really good about this one. I thought this one was an easy one. So yeah, going over.
Wow, DK says under.
I know. I was surprised.
Yeah, I say over as well. Although that's a tough one though. I could see it going both ways, but I'm going to say over as well because I like how those guys are playing. I think they're playing out of this world. And then the next one, number 4, Ravens sacks. Last week they had 3. This week he puts it at 3.5. Would they have more or less?
Yeah, I'm going with under because I'm saying they're getting 3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree.
Just 3. I know what DK was trying to do there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. You know,
he's trying to set the trap. But
and I think this could be where he gets the win if he gets it. But I am agreeing. I think they only get to 3.
Yeah.
Because Stafford has a good, he can get that ball out kind of quick, especially as he's gotten older and gotten hit more. He doesn't like that. Yeah. And so I think he will get the ball out quick. So I say under as well. All right. Now we have our total score over under, the first of the tiebreakers.
Yeah.
39.5 he puts the over under, Jimbo, which has definitely got to reflect the weather. That's such a low total. So what do you think, Jimbo? Over under.
Yeah. I'm just double checking my math here. Make sure I'm not. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going over here.
Did you just pull up the calculator for that math?
I just double checked. Because I did it in my head, but I had to be sure.
Pierney, are you in the chat?
Well, I already did it in my head. I just had to be sure. Okay. That's about it. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going over 43. I know that the unders have been hitting all over the place this year. Like betting folks are just making tons of money on the unders this year in football. But I'm going with the over. I think the Ravens win 27-16, which puts me at 43 points.
Wow. Okay. I say under. I think just barely. I think it's 21-17. It puts me at 38 points. If my math, I didn't pull up a calculator for crying out loud, but I think my math is correct. 38 points, 21-17 Ravens win. DK agrees with you. He says over.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how we get back at DK for missing the show. Our second tiebreaker, total yards for the Ravens. It's closest to the pin competition. I'm going to say they get 315 total yards.
Okay.
DK guesses 361 total yards. Jimbo, what do you say?
362. Threes, and that is where it stops for you, DK.
That's right.
Your window is closed. Window closed.
That's right. I'm going to go out and gallivant, dude.
This is what you get.
I like that. DK goes, you know he's my friend, right? That's right, Lisa Ann. Let him know. Let them know. But yeah, I mean, if you guys want to participate, we encourage everyone to do so.
Yes.
All you have to do is send us your answers to the over under and closest to the pin competitions to one of the social media handles you see above my head. You can do that.
Swag.
Yeah. In a private message, you could do it after this live session is over in the comments section. We will announce this week's winner on our Tuesday post game show. And at that point, you'll have the opportunity to send us your address and shirt size, and you'll get a free bit of swag in the mail.
That's
right before, I think it might make it right before Christmas. Yeah. We'll have to see.
We'll give it a shot.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, this is a big, big opportunity for the Ravens to take on a team that, while hot, is traveling across the entire country from warm, beautiful LA to cold, windy, and rainy Baltimore. I just can't imagine that's good for them and not good for
There's never been a situation where it's a fun flight back,
especially the 1 o'clock. Like, you know, you travel a lot more than me. How big is that 1 o'clock versus the 4 o'clock?
That's huge. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm surprised they didn't make this a 4:25 game. This is a big deal for them because you cannot physically make up those 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So what are you losing those 3 hours in? You're either losing it in prep time, you're losing it in sleep time, you're losing it in your routine. Something. They're gone. Traveling east to west is hard because, boom, like that, those hours are gone. So even if they get in when? Today's Friday. When do you think they get in? You think they get in?
I think they get in tomorrow. Yeah, I think they get in Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, even if they – I mean, because the thing is, if they left at, like, 5 a.m. right? There, it's a 5-hour flight plus 3 hours. So the earliest they're going to get in is early afternoon, most likely tomorrow night. And they're going to be up late because for them it's going to be 7 when it's going to be 10, and it's a mess.
And it's kind of like playing at 10 a.m., right? For them.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Playing at 10 a.m. for them. But it's not, if it were just that, I wouldn't see it as an issue, but it's the losing those hours, man. It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ravens have an opportunity to really take a hold of the AFC North, especially.
Yeah.
And further their grip on the AFC.
Let's not squander it, Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah, let's certainly come off the bye week. I don't want to see them coming off the bye week with a bunch of rust. You know what I mean? Like let's come off looking like we enjoyed the bye week and needed it, not that we came off of it worse for wear. Like that's the only thing that has me a little concerned. There's some rust early on, and then you're trying to play catch up in a game where it's raining and windy, and then you can end up throwing the ball to the other team or the ball gets put on the ground. It's just too many issues when you're having to play catch up.
And this, Glenn, is exactly why I never stop at aid stations. I just run right through them and grab stuff like a savage because I'm too scared. If I stop, it's over. My body's like, nope.
Like, oh, we're done?
Yep. No more. So yeah, you're right. It's always a fear. Always. Yeah. And so I agree with you. I hope they come in hot, warm, sharp, ready to go. Like they don't miss a beat. But look, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be here right after the game. Make sure you join us. And like Glenn said, participate in the competition. It's certainly heating up here internally, and you guys can as well. But be here with us right after the game. We'll be here. Make sure you turn your notifications so you know when we go live. That's it for us tonight. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.